We continue our learning. Lili Nishmas David Ben Menachem Mishnah Ham Yaakov Bepidchos Eliyahu. We're in Gittin Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey. Kol Get Sheyesh Alav Aid Kusi Puzzle. Chutz migitei nashim v'shechurei avadim. Any get, and we speak about a shtar, get, as we mentioned, is a general rule for a shtar. Any shtar, any document that has an eid kusi, we've mentioned the kusim in the past, whether they have the status of that they really converted, or a gerei emes, or maybe a gerei arayus, they only converted because of the lions that attacked them, the kusim that are brought into the land of Israel, discussed in Malachim Beis, Perek Yud Zayin. So if a get has a witness who's a kusi, who's signing a document, has a kusi who signed. Obviously, we generally need two witnesses. Here it sounds like one of those witnesses is a kusi on a document. That's going to be disqualified. Chutz migitei nashim v'shichur avadim. That means a get isha or the get shichur of an evet kanani are going to be valid if one of the edim is an ed kusi. Now, first we have to understand when it comes to the kusim. The kusim, we'll say that they have a certain status of geiris, nonetheless, they weren't careful in certain halachos. So, for example, the Gemara assumes on Yudam and Bey is that the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, who says you can't eat matzah made by kusim. They weren't careful in certain details of halacha, even if they did follow halacha. And therefore, we cannot believe them either when it comes to their testimony. So if they're signed on a shtar, even if it's only one aid, and the other aid is Jewish, it's going to be possible. Sounds like Nashim, Shichar, Avadim are going to be different. They will be kosher if you had an aid kusi. Why is one eight kusi acceptable when it comes to a get isha or a get shechur? So the Gemara in fact says that it's only where the eight kusi signed before the Jew. So we assume that if this kusi wasn't recognized by the Jew as someone who's reliable, so then he never would have signed afterwards. So the fact that there's a kusi name that signed, and then it's followed by a Jew who signed, that's going to be acceptable for a get isha and a get shichur. But that's only true when it comes to these particular documents. Why is that so? Because one of the halachos that applies to a get isha and a get shichur is that that the people who sign, the witnesses, have to sign zeh bifnei zeh, one in front of the other. So therefore, we could be rest assured that if there's a kusi who signed before, the Jew who signed afterwards had to see him. He knows he's reliable, therefore the Jew signs afterwards. However, when it comes to other gittin, when it comes to other documents, a loan document, for example, or a sale, a deed, so there, if a kusi signed before and I have a kusi name and then a Jew signed afterwards, it's not acceptable because it's possible they did not sign at the same time. And let's say maybe what happened was the Israel signed first. He left room for someone else, assuming maybe a Jew would sign above, maybe a Jew who was more chashav than him. So he left that line above. And lo and behold, the kusi came and signed above him. So since they're not zeh bifnei zeh, there's no way to know that kusi is kosher, who signed. And therefore, that's why when it comes to other documents besides get isha or get shichur, they're going to be disqualified if there's an eid kusi because they can sign shalom bifnei zeh. Now, why is it that when it comes to a get isha or get shichur, that we have a halacha that you must sign one in front of the other? So we'll learn about it later, but the halacha is, let's say, for example, a person tells a group of people, I want you to write a get for my wife. So the halacha is, even though you only need two eidim generally on a get, if you told this to five people, all those five people have to write the get and make sure that they at least sign on that get for it to be effective. Therefore, we're afraid if the witnesses would not sign together, they would sign separately. What's going to happen? The wife, or the case of the slave, Evid Kanani, they're going to say, oh, look at that, there are two signatures on here. And I guess it's acceptable. And he's going to assume he's free. She's going to assume she's divorced. She's going to remarry with this, not realizing that this get is not valid. Why is it not valid? Because the person, the husband who said, I want this get to be written, assumed, and part of the condition is that all of the five people who are told must sign. And if they don't all sign, it's not kosher. So because of that, there was a halacha that applied when it comes to get isha, get shichur, that all of the eidim must sign at the same time. And since that would be true in that case, they made a low plug that it should always be true. And when it comes to get isha, get shichur, that all the eidim sign zeh bifnei zeh. So Mefarshim explained, if you think about how this is working, is that on a case of a get isha, so why is this get effective? Not so much because the kusi signed before, but rather because the Yisrael signed afterwards. So why is that okay? It sounded, you need two Edim. So the answer is, of course, the two Edim is the Yisrael who signed below. And he obviously signed, as we said, in front of the Kusi as well. And he knew that that Kusi was reliable. So that being the case, our Mishnah must hold that the Kusim were Gerei Emes. Otherwise, we would not allow this get to be effective, because what does it mean, though? Why would a Jew be signing below in front of a Kusi right after the Kusi signed, knowing that he sees the Kusi there? It must be that Kusim in general are going to be reliable. Obviously, we know that in later years, the Kusim had the status of non-Jews. They started worshiping this, they had this Avodah Zarah of a Yonah, of a dove. And therefore, they have the status of non-Jews and, of course, are not going to be valid witnesses on anything and not even on getting down in Shechuri Avadim. Then the Mishnah says, Maiseh Sheheviu Lifnei Rabban Gamliel L'Kfar Osnai Get Isha. This case where they brought in front of Gamliel to Kfar Osnai, a village, and they brought a Get Isha of Ahayu Edev Edei Kusim, the Hichshir. And they were Edei Kusim, and he said it's kosher. So a simple way to understand the Mishnah is that the Gemara has, is that it really should not have said Eide Kusim, it should have said Eid Kusi, where one witness was a Kusi. And of course, to support that which we just said, he said it was kosher because there was one Eid Kusi followed by an Eid Yisrael. Eid Yisrael obviously only signed Zeh b'fnei Zeh, and therefore he saw the Kusi and knew he was kosher, and that's why he signed afterwards. However, our Girsa has that the Eidov Eide Kusim, the Eidim were Eide Kusim, and Rabban Gamliel said it was kosher. That sounds like Rabban Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakam and holds that a Get Isha would be kosher even if you had two Eide Kusim. In fact, the Gemara says that this is one way to understand the Mishnah, and the Mishnah should be understood with a Chisurei Mechasra, that there are words missing, meaning Rabban Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakhama, and the Mishnah should have him saying, no, that a Get with two Kusim is acceptable. And to support that was this story where Rabban Gamliel had, they brought a get to him in Kfar Osnai, and there were two Eidei Kusim, and he said it was kosher. Why does he hold that this would be kosher? So Rabban Gamliel follows the opinion of Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, who holds that the halachos, that when it comes to the Kusim, when they accepted halachos upon themselves, they fulfill those halachos even in a more meticulous fashion than Jews. So if that's the case, that we can rely on the Kusim, so they accepted the laws of Gittin and Shichur as well, so if that's the case, we can rely on them. The only thing is, they didn't follow necessarily the rules and regulations of other documents. And that's why they're reliable when it comes to Gittin, even to Kusim, but they're not reliable when it comes to the other other Gittin, other types of Shtaros, even if there's even only one Kusi. Then the Mishnah says, Kol Hashtaros Ha'olin Ba'ar Kos Shel Goyim, Afal Pishech Osmehim Goyim Ksherim, Chutz Migitei Nashim Mishichur Havanim. So here we're speaking about not Kusim, but completely non-Jews. You have a shtar that comes, arkos are non-Jewish courts. So any, they have shtaros that literally come up, that are processed in the arkos, we call it arkos, in the non-Jewish courts. Even though the people who sign are non-Jews, those are kosher. Now, what documents are we speaking about? So here, the Mefarshim explain that we're talking about shtarim. The Bar Tanura says, Davkav shtari halvos v'shtari mekach u'memkach. This is only when it comes to documents, loan documents, and deeds, sale documents, with sheha'edim ro'u b'nesinas hamanim, where the edim saw the money was transferred, they saw the transaction, and they would rely on them. They're considered professionals, and we can rely on their integrity. So therefore, the Chachamim were not afraid, and non-Jewish shtaros that are in their courts, since it's in our coast, it's their that's their system, their court system, we assume that they are reliable. That is acceptable, even though the people who sign are non-Jews. The Gemara has another explanation for why this is okay, that we're speaking about the principle of Din D'Namachu Sedina, and that is that whatever laws the government has is considered binding in Jewish law as well. So if it's true that this is something that applies to all the citizens, so then Din D'Namachu Sedina, we can rely on these types of shtaros. Obviously, the first opinion disagrees and says this is not a proper application of Din Malchus HaDin. Din Malchus HaDin is where there's some interest in that din for the king. It's something the king, whether or collecting taxes or it's to his benefit somehow here, the fact that the court system is working is not necessarily to the benefit of the king. So that doesn't help him one way or the other. So therefore, this would not be a Din Malchus HaDin issue in this Mishnah, but it's just because they happen to be reliable. What's not included in this are Gitei Nashim and Shichur Avadim. Of course, Gitin and Gitei Shichur, which are processed in a non-Jewish court, so the non-Jewish Mishnahs are not going to be accepted because they're not Einan Mitoras. They're not included in the laws of Gitin and Kiddushin, and therefore that's not going to be acceptable. Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Eluk Sherim. He says that even Gitin and Get Shichur, which are processed in our coast and they're signed by non-Jewish witnesses, are acceptable as long as we have two Jewish witnesses who are watching the giving of the get of get shichru or get isha to the slave or the woman respectively. What does it mean? This is Rabbi Shimon, who's following Rabbi Elazar's principle, which we mentioned in the introduction to the Masechta. We mentioned this in Machlokes throughout the Masechta, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Meir holds Edim Chasima Karsi. What causes that severance between the man and the woman? And the same thing when it comes to Get Shichur, the master and the Eved, is the Chasima, those who sign on the Get, are they the ones who affect the severance? And according to Rabbi Elazar, no, Ede Mesira Karsi. No, it's not the signatures, only Midrabanan you need signatures. Midrais is the two Edim who watch the giving that it's given and it's transferred from one to the other, from the master to the Eved, from the man to the woman. If that's true, if Eidim is Sirakarasi, so then we don't have to worry, says Rabbi Shimon, following Rabbi Elazar's logic that Eidim is Sirakarasi. We don't have to worry who's signing. The fact that the non-Jews are signing, that doesn't matter. The get is going to be valid simply because we have Jewish Eidim who are watching that's being given. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Eluk Sherim, not even when it comes to non-Jews signing on a get isha and a get shichur, even that is acceptable. Lo huskaru elo bizman shenasu behedyon. The two ways to understand this phrase, understand it the simple way like the Ran does. What it means is, when it comes to getting and get shichur, which we the halacha is, it says here, lo huskaru elo bizman shenasu behedyot. Hedyot means ordinary people, means where you don't have professionals, you don't have famous people. It means the following. Rabbi Shimon holds that even when you have definitely, you know very well that I have non-Jewish names that are signed on this particular get, on this particular document. So there, Rabbi Shimon says, yes, there are cases where I agree that a get isha, a get shichur are not going to be valid when it's signed by non-Jews. That's where it's done by hedyot. It means it's not done in a court. It's signed by people. They are definitely non-Jews who are signing. So we're afraid that people are going to think that these are Jewish, that maybe the people who signed are Jewish, and therefore they rely on that document. But when it's done in a Beis Din, where there's, you know, everyone knows it's public, so the court do that, and therefore it's publicized, so they don't have to worry about it, and the people are, and the non-Jews are able to sign upon it, I don't have a problem, which means even Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Elazar, Eidim Mesirakar. So don't worry about the people who sign. Non-Jews can sign. We're not worried about it at all because, after all, Jewish people are watching the get being given. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that that's all true if it's done by our coast, if this is signed by non-Jews in a Jewish court. There, it's publicized. You know that the people who are signing are non-Jews, and everybody knows not to rely on those people if they would sign elsewhere. But if it's done behedyot privately, where we don't know these people are not professionals, so therefore we would have to, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that we have to be concerned. The Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph and Mud Aleph has a list of what we call Shemos Muvhakim. These names that are obviously non-Jews. The Gemara has over here named Rav Papa, like Hurmiz and Abudinida Bar Shivsoy and Bar Kidri, Obati, Venakim Una. These were non-Jewish judges. People, we knew they were non-Jewish judges. So what Rabbi Shimon's saying is that even if I have those names that are obviously non-Jews, if it's they're Shemos of Hakim, if it's not coming out of a court, it's not coming. So then we have to be worried. But I know it's coming from a Beis Din, so then we don't have to be worried that people are going to rely on these people in another context. Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav Haomer Ten Get Zel Ishti Ushtar Shichru Zel Avdi. Says Rabbi Meir like this. You have a person who says to a shaliach, we know we could appoint shaliach, we discussed this already, and he says, I want you to give this get to my wife or this shar shichur to my eved. And the Gemara explains that tain doesn't, he doesn't only mean give, it really means zakeh. It means I want you to acquire this on behalf of. In that way, that's what he means. Zakeh, he says shaliach, zakeh begets zel ishti, I want you to acquire this on behalf of my wife. So then the halacha is that if he, the husband, wants to be chozer, wants to retract, before the get comes to the hands of the woman or the shtar shichur to the eved, he has the ability to be chozer, which means that the shaliach cannot be zoche in the get for on behalf of the woman or the shtar shichur for the eved, because this cannot be an effective type of acquisition. Why not? Says these are the words Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir says this, by the way, is another way that get Nashem and Shichur Avadim are the same. We mentioned earlier about halachos about delivering them, the Shavu Molocha. Maybe we had that earlier in Mishnah Dalit. So here's another example of where they're the same. That a person says, I want you to acquire this get on behalf of my wife, this get Shichur on behalf of my Eved, the master or the husband has the right to retract. He has no problem, which means that this person does not have the right to acquire this on behalf of the Eved. Why not? On behalf of the woman. Because of the concept of Zachin La'adam Shalom Befanav and Ein Chavin La'adam Ela Befanav. What does that mean? It means that if you're doing something, you can appoint a Shaliach. But if the shaliach is doing something now that is to the detriment of the person, of the recipient, in this case, so then it's not something that can be done when the person is not around. Now, normally, when it comes to a get or other situations, we have the concept of zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. A person can do something advantageous for someone else and acquire something on someone else's behalf if it's to their benefit, even though the person doesn't know about it. So we do this all the time when it comes to, let's say, Erev Tavshilin. So what happens? Someone from the community, someone ideally shouldn't be someone from the family. You have a balabais, he has an egg and a matzor, and what does he do? He should give it to someone who is going to represent the rest of the community. And a person picks up on behalf of the rest of the community and said, I'm acquiring this on everyone's behalf that they should have the right to cook on Yontif. Now, that's something, no one knows about that. No one has no idea that I'm doing this in my own house. No one knows that this person is representing everybody else. Nonetheless, this is effective. Why? Because Zachin La'adam Shalom B'Fanav. You can do something to someone's advantage and acquire it on their behalf. If it's a zechus, it's zachin, it's a zechus, it's a privilege for them, it's a right, it's something that's beneficial to them. So it's beneficial for anyone to be able to cook on Yontif, so for the Erev Tavshilin to be effective, so that works. But what about getting divorced? You're going to tell me that this person can now pick up this get on behalf of the woman, and he can point to shaliach, not only to deliver a get, but to acquire a get, to be a shaliach, a lekabala, so to speak, to accept it on her behalf, so maybe that should work. So the answer is it doesn't doesn't work, says Rabbi Meir. You know why? Because a woman now to be divorced, she's now is not going to be supported by him. It's not at all a zechus for her to be divorced. It's not a support. It's not an advantage. It's a disadvantage. It's detrimental for an eved to be freed as well, because they're normally supported by the master, by the husband. So therefore, a person cannot be zoche in that get on behalf of the isha or the slave. V'chachamim omrim begite nashim. Yes, the husband has the right to retract. But not when it comes to a get shichur. So again, what we're talking about is that the person this person picks up the get on a woman's behalf. What we say before doesn't work, which means the husband still has the right to retract. She's not divorced yet. Why? Because it's not a zechus to be divorced, and it's not a zechus to be emancipated. But chachamim only agree with respect to the gitei nashim that the husband can retract, and the person who picked up the get on behalf of the woman, it's not an effective divorce at all. Why? Because it's to the woman's detriment to be divorced, and therefore no one can be zoche in that on her behalf. But avalob b'shichurei avadim, but the master cannot retract once he's given the get shichur to someone to be zoche on behalf of the Eved Kanani, because according to the Chachamim, it is a zechus for the Eved to be freed. A person can become an agent for his friend, Shalomi Dato, even though he's not unaware of it, as long as what he's doing is to his advantage. And it's certainly to the advantage of an Eved to be freed. It's a zechus. He now becomes a full-fledged Jew. He's free. He can marry a Jewish woman. And therefore, that's a zechus. But the Ein Chavin Lo Ela B'Fanav. You want to do something disadvantageous, to someone's detriment, you can appoint a shaliach, but that person has to be there. The person needs to be aware of it. And it's considered a chov to be divorced according to everybody. And the Mishnah explains why. Shim Yirtzev Shelo Lozones Avda Rashai. So the Mishnah gives the reason why it's always considered a zechus, according to the Chachamim rather, it's considered a zechus for an eved to be freed. Why? You'll say it's to his detriment because the master is no longer feeding him. He was getting supported. Isn't that what Rabbi Meir held? Yes, but the Chachamim said that logic doesn't work because an Eved, the master has the right to not support his Eved, even when he's still an Eved. He has the right to say, Ase imi veini zancha. You still have to work for me, but I'm not supporting you. Let tzedaka, you go to tzedaka, the pushka will pay for everything. He has the right to do that. It may not be nice, but that's officially the halacha. And therefore, it's automatically a zuchus for an Eved to be freed because he gains nothing by being with his master, since the master has the right not to support him. But v'shalo lozones ishto, eino rashai. But a husband doesn't have the right to do that. A husband is chayv in mizonos ishto. We learn this in Ksuvos. And therefore, it's automatically, it's always a chov for a woman to be divorced because she loses out on those mizonos. And therefore, a woman can only be divorced bifaneh, in front of her. You want to have a shaliach accept again on her behalf. She has to be there. She has to be at least aware of it. Amar lehem, but Rabbi Meir said to the Chachamim, what do you mean? You're telling me that there's nothing to the Eved's detriment when he's now emancipated? He's now freed. What, there's nothing, there's no advantage at all? There's no advantage to him staying with his master. I think it's his detriment, says Rabbi Meir, for him to be emancipated. You know why? Let's say the master is a Kohen. So by freeing the Eved, the Eved can no longer eat Truma. The same way, if he divorces his wife and he's a Kohen, she now returns and she was not a Bas Kohen, she can no longer eat Truma. So he is losing out. So therefore, the Gemara asks, hold on, what about an Eved Shel Yisrael? So maybe an Eved Shel Yisrael has that. That's never to his detriment to be emancipated because the master can decide not to feed him. The answer is no. When he's emancipated, he can't live with the Shivcha Kananis. When he was an Eved Kananis, he can live with the Shivcha Kananis. But now that he's emancipated, he can only marry a Jewish woman. What's the problem with that? So the Gemara says it should be good. No, the Gemara says Avda Behef Keira Nechala. He likes likes the hefker, that he likes chai hefker of living with. It's not marriage. He can go from one woman to another. And Shivcha Kananis, it's not real marriage. Doesn't have the responsibility, the accountability of marriage. And therefore, he'd rather live with a Shivcha Kananis and not with a baschorin. So maybe it's his detriment. So Amalo, that Chacham said back to Rabbi Meir, Meneshu Kinyono. Meaning, don't give me the argument, oh, an Eved who was now, an Eved Cohen is now being emancipated, it's to his detriment, and it's not a Zuchus. Why? Because he's losing out on Truma. You know why he's able to eat Truma? Because he's his Kinyan, Kinyan Kaspo. What does that mean? The master is able to sell a master Cohen. He's able to sell his Eved Kanani to Israel and pass him from Kuhuna without a palm, and therefore it's not a chov for an Eved to be emancipated because he could lose out on that truma even when he's still an Eved. And others say that's not what the Mishnah means. And Mishnah means Mishnah, can you know, means that the Eved, the fact that the Eved is eating truma, so that is not a result of any chashivos that the Eved has. That's actually because he's the Kinyan, he's the property of the Kohen. That's not a good thing. You know, a behemoth of a Kohen can also eat Truma, because it's Kinyan, it's his property. That no one thinks that that's a good thing, and therefore it's not a, and to his detriment to be emancipated is absolutely the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Meir, it is completely to his benefit to be emancipated, and therefore Zachin Ladon Shalom B'fanah, a shaliach can do that even when the Eved is unaware of it. Then the Mishnah says, Tenu get, Ha'omer, Tenu get, Zela Ishti, Ushtar Shichru Zela Avdi Vames. You have a case where someone says, give this get to my wife, or the shtachshu to my Eved, but then the person died, the master died, the husband died before the get received, the woman received the get, the Eved received the get. Lo yitnu lachar misa. You can't give it after Misa. It's too late to give a get. Ain get, there's a general rule. Ain get lachar misa, because the documents have to take effect when they're given. And here, they weren't given. Can't give it after he's dead. So therefore, lo yitnu lachar misa. Ah, you'll say, hold on, according to the Chachamim, I thought a shaliach can be zoche b'shvilo eved, but here he said tenu, which means he didn't ask him to be zoche in it before he died. He gave the shtar shichur to the shaliach, and he wants to give it to the recipient. And since the master died, the husband died, therefore he's not emancipated, the woman's not divorced. But the Mishnah then concludes, Tenu manel ish ploni, give this 100 zuz to this person. A person said while he was alive, Vames, then he died, Yitnu lacha misa, then you can give that after misa. Why? Because a person was on his deathbed, let's say, and he said these words, we say, Divrei shchiv meira, the words of a person who's dying, is kichsu v'milchem surim, it's as if they're written and they're given over already. And therefore, that can be given after misa, as opposed to a get, ain get lacha misa, get cannot take effect after the person died. So if he said, give this get, to my wife, and then the man died, so you don't give it lachar misa because it doesn't take effect till it's actually given to her, and at that moment, he's when you're delivering the get to her, the husband had already died.